I'll just get it back up here after service. Good to see Brother Miller here with us today. It's good to see him. Good friend of ours here at this church. Worships with us a lot, and we are honored anytime he can drive over. It's a pretty good journey for him to drive over. And we are honored that he would take that time on a snowy Sunday afternoon, especially when he drives all the time for a living. And then he drives over on a Sunday to have church with us, but we are honored when he does get to do that. It's good to have Brother and Sister Kirk back home with us. They had a rough weekend last weekend, but it's good to have them back with us today. I do have a message for us today. I'm not going to be super long today, but I do have a message that God has laid on our heart, my heart. And I don't usually do this, but could I ask one of you to come back to the organ? I want to sing one song before I preach. And it's an older song. It's a song some of you will recognize, some of you may not. It's a song that simply says, "Move me with your message once again. It's been so long since I've been broke within. Take me back once more to Calvary, and one more time your message moves me." It goes something like this: "Move me with your message once again. It's been so long since I've been broke within. Take me back once more to Calvary, and one more time your message move me. Move me with your message once again. It's been so long since I've been broke within. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? Oh, take me back once more to Calvary, and one more time your message move me. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you I can never, no, never. Well, I've been on the mountains with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low. Think about this. But not one time has he failed me. When to him with my burden I go, let me walk with you, Jesus. Is that your heart's desire today? Don't ever leave me alone. For without you I could never, no, never make heaven my home. I wonder if we could all close our eyes and sing this one time. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never. Don't ever make heaven my home. Think about this one. I need thee, oh, I need thee. My Savior, I come to thee. I'm going to preach just for a few moments today on recognizing the shepherd. Recognizing the shepherd. We're going to John chapter number 10. If you have your Bibles, if we could go there. Do cover your prayers today. I am a little bit under the... was ill last night, and but I really felt that I needed to preach today. So that's why I'm in the pulpit today. And God has strengthened me, and I thank him for that. John chapter number 10, verse number 1. I say thank you to all of you that have been so faithful to the house of God. It does mean a lot to us. But I feel the effects of your prayers. I thank all of you that showed up early today and visited the prayer room, because the presence of God is here today. And it makes a difference when we get tuned into what God's doing before we step into his sanctuary and get plugged in. And if you're not familiar with our prayer room, there's only one other room besides the bathroom in this building that has our prayer room. If you're in the bathroom, that's not the prayer room. It's across the hall right there. That is the prayer room, and it is open before service. John chapter number 10, verse number 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Notice this. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his what? His own sheep. By what? By name. Everybody say, God knows my name. Think about that. The concept that a God that big, in a universe this big, and a population as big as we have across this world, that God knows my name. And he called me, but then he not only does he call me by name, but then it says, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his what? They know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. The Bible says that this parable Jesus spoke unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Then he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. Notice that. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. I want you to pay close attention to this. There are other shepherds, but there's only one good shepherd. There are people that will take you under their wing. There are individuals that will bump shoulders with you and lead you. But there's only one good shepherd. It says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, the other shepherds haven't done what I've done to have you in their flock. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And he says it again, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. And notice this, and am known of mine. He says, not only do I know the sheep, but my sheep know me. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Every head is bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if we could pray as I preach just for a little while on recognizing the shepherd. Dear Lord, we love you and we ask you, God, right now to step into this room. Strengthen me today. Anoint those that are hearing the word of God and allow me to deliver it, what you put into me. Let me preach with a fervency and a power and a passion, God, something that will somehow resonate in somebody's mind that will draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What does it mean to be a leader? Anybody understand or ever heard the saying, leaders don't tell everyone how to get there, they just lead. I don't know if you've ever been driving somewhere and you looking for directions and you go into a city and you have somebody say, well, yeah, I know how to get there. You go down to this road and you go to that road and you get to this stoplight and two stoplights past that. You turn left on Lafayette Street or Georgia Street. Well, I think it's Lafayette Street. Well, it could be Georgia. But anyway, you'll see it because there's a gas station there. And then you take another right and then you'll see this and this and this. And you walk away saying, I have no idea how to get there. But you don't want to say, can you tell me that one more time? Because you get a kind of get the hunch. They don't have any idea either. But there is a difference when somebody says, you know what? I'm going that way. Just what? Follow me. It's much easier to get there when you can pull out of the parking lot, pull in behind them, and you fall in line. And you know what? When you get past the road, they turn their turn signal on, point out the window, and you know that's your destination. And then you know they are leading you down the right path. It is much different when someone is telling you how to get there when they really don't know how to get there. And there are a lot of individuals in today's society that have all the answers. They know the right things to tell you. They know the right directions. But the reality is, don't follow everybody that says they know. Follow someone that's leading. Leading makes the difference. And when you are following someone that's leading, you will know whether they know the right way or not. I have been guilty of this in the past. I am leading, and I think I know where I'm going. And after we've made about two circles, the phone starts to ring. And they say, "Are you sure you know where you're going? Didn't we just pass that restaurant once already?" Because you recognize very quickly whether they really know where they're going or whether they don't. But the reality is, leaders don't tell you how to get there. Leaders lead you there. There is a big difference in leading. I find it enjoyable to follow someone that knows where they are going. Sheep are by natural instinct followers. Sheep are what we are compared to biblically. Sheep do not have the intuition. Have you ever looked at a lamb and opened its mouth and took a peer in at its teeth? Not very vicious. Have you ever heard the growl or the roar of a lamb? Probably not. A lamb is not very intimidating in itself. Have you ever went to battle with a lamb? If someone asked you to go into the sheep pen, most of us would hop over the pen and not be worried one bit about going in with a bunch of lambs, would we? But now if somebody asks you to go in to the other pen that had the cattle, and they happen to have Mr. Brahma Bull in the pen, Mr. Brahma Bull's got something to be contended with. The lamb are not looked at in the same way as the cattle. Or we had one neighbor that had a goat, and this goat was mean as a snake. And he was so mean, they named him something that it's not vulgar, but I wouldn't tell you over the pulpit because it's not appropriate. And he was so mean, they named him something that wasn't very nice because he was so mean. So they named him appropriately for his character. Because this old goat was big, and he had the horns that would roll back. And that old goat would just watch you, and he would wait for you to turn your back. And as soon as you would turn your back, he'd rear up. Bam! He would just hit you with everything he had and knock you across that. That goat was just naturally mean. But when you finally, he got so mean that they finally, there was a guy around the block that had goats. The neighbor called him and said, "You know what, if you'll just come get this goat." She said, "This goat is mean. It'll hurt somebody. This goat's just mean. It needs to go to the sale barn." And he said, "Oh, that goat ain't mean. You just don't know how to handle that goat." And he was about 70-some years old. He'd had goats all his life. He said, "You just don't know how to handle that goat." Saw him about a month later, and she said, "Well, how's that goat doing?" He goes, "Well, that's the meanest goat I ever seen. I sent him to sale barn." But you don't picture lambs as you do a big old rammed goat. Lambs are gentle. Lambs are followers. Lambs are something that are easily manipulated. Lambs are something that can be led down the wrong path if you're not very careful. Lambs are not looked at as renegades. Lambs are not something that you look at as stirring up mischief within the flock. Lambs are pretty easy going. There are leaders in this world. that have all of the answers, that have all the directions, and when you look into their world, it seems like it makes sense. But the reality is very simple. If you're looking for the philosophies of this world, you're looking to make your life off of money, you're looking to make your life off the things of this world, it all makes sense when they're telling you, but if you look at their life, you will find that it doesn't really add up in the end. Because when you go down that road, we as individuals know the repercussions of that life. It leads an emptiness. It leaves a voidness. It leaves something on inside that is hungering for what it was really created for. Inside of every one of us was put a desire in our hearts to be led. And you say, what do you mean? We as individuals, there was something put inside of us from the day we were born, even from the instincts of a mother, that baby will cleave to its mother. It will naturally migrate to the mother. It's a natural instinct of a child to want to follow its parents. We have some little puppies at the house. They're only about this big, two little walker pups that just cute little things. But those little pups, if you step into the pen with them, they will just jump on your leg and want to follow you all the way around that pen. If you reach your hand over, they will jump up on that because they want you to pet them. And the one got a little ornery and he wants to bite a little bit when he's, so he got to take that glove and tap him on the nose and teach him you don't do that. But those pups has a natural tendency to follow. You can take those puppies and put them out in the yard and they won't run off. They will just follow you all around the yard because that's a natural tendency that's put into that little pup. And we as individuals are no different. Inside the heart of a man, woman, child, doesn't matter who you are, there is a natural tendency to be a follower. Why do people go down the road of drugs and alcohol? Why do people go down the roads of seeking money? Why do people get drunken on success and drunken on the idols of this world, whether it be in the sports and the elements of money and the elements of business and getting drunken on the things of this world? What causes an individual to do that? Most of the time they have found someone to follow. They have found someone that they put their hopes and trust in, and they try to desire to want to be that. Today's society is loaded with idols. You say, what do you mean? There are idols in the fact of sports players. There are idols in the sights of politicians. There are idols in the sights of every individual within the sound of my voice. You probably immediately can go into your mind and think of things and individuals that are put out there as this is really where it's at. But what is put inside of mankind will never, ever really find contentment until it's following the good shepherd. You can search this world over from top to bottom, front to back, all around this world, and you will never really find a peace in your soul until you finally find the good shepherd. The problem is the shepherd is always there. He has called you. You are one of his sheep. He has pulled us into the flock. We are not Jews, but we were grafted in to become a part of the flock. But it baffles my mind to look at the number of individuals in society today that refuse to recognize the good shepherd. They have chosen to follow the other things. They have chosen to follow the shepherds that the Bible says, according to Jesus, that would leave them when the wolf comes. There are individuals that are your friends as long as you've got the money. Brother Donnie can probably attest to this. As long as you've got the hits for the weekend, they will be there. But the minute the knock comes on the door, everybody disappears. And you're left holding the bag. There's a lot of schemes out there of how to make quick money in life. It's not all in drugs. Some of it's in success. How you can make a quick buck in life. They do it in mortgages. They do it in Wall Street. They do it in the finance world all the time. Everybody ever heard of the Ponzi scheme? Anybody heard of an individual that's still sitting in jail that literally stole millions from elderly people that was giving him their money? And he said, I'm going to put it in the market, and I've got a success rate of 10 to 15%. And I will make sure that you get a good investment on this money, only to find out thousands of elderly people hit retirement to find out there was no money there. He had stolen it all. Because they were following something that seemed right, it looked right, thought it was right, but to find it was empty and there was nothing there. We as a church have got to learn to be followers of God. You say, am I not a follower of God? I come to church. I do everything I'm supposed to do. Am I not being a follower of God? I want to give you an illustration of those sheep can be a part of the flock. But isn't it interesting that we as individuals sometimes think we know better than God? Anybody ever been there? Good old flesh that says, but God, I think I could do it this way and make it work. But we don't understand the grand scheme of why God is doing things a certain way, because we don't know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, but God does. And the minute we start playing God with our life, I tell us we are playing with definite destruction. Picture with me a little lamb that begins to look. Anybody ever heard the saying, the grass is always greener on the what? On the other side. That little lamb begins to nibble its way along down through there and pick at the grass. And guess what? Over along the little creek or along the little pond is what? The nicest grass, is it not? But the shepherd, knowing the times that you need to go to the water hole, so does the wolf and so does the fox. And the shepherd knows when you can go and when it's safe to go and when it's not safe to go. And it's very easy for the lamb to look at the lush green grass and say, I could just go nibble for a little while. And as it begins to go nibble and as it begins to eat, think about this. The shepherd also recognizes what will make the lamb sick and what will not. And he knows if that lamb overeats on the lush green grass, it will make the lamb very ill. So he knows when they go water, he can let them enjoy the lush grass for a while. But we must go to high ground where the grass is not quite so rich. But it's easy for us as individuals to nibble along and 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 nibble along until we've got ourselves in a pickle. And we look back And you can still see the flock. But you're not close enough. You've become distant. And there's too much ground between you and your protection. And it's easy for the baying and the storming and all the things going on in the world. You've heard the shepherd call your name time and time again. Anybody ever have children like mine? Christian Dane Smith? Christiana Dawn Smith? Get in here right now. Anybody ever done that with your children? All of us? If you've ever had children, you've been there. Or you get up in the morning and you go to their bedroom and you say, Christiana, it's time to get up for school. And you flip the hall light on, only to come back a little while later and you find out she's still asleep. So then you go in and you say, Christiana Smith, I said it's time to get up for school. Then Dad comes through. And Dad says his normal, Christiana, feet on the what? Feet on the floor. Because until she gets the feet on the floor, she's still sleeping. You may as well forget it. Did she hear them the first time? Yes. Did she hear them the second time? Yes. Did she hear them the third time? Yes. But what do? We start to tune it out in our minds because we calculate how long I have before I have to have the horses fed and I have to have this done and I have my school bag and I make it to the car before Mom is leaving me. And we calculate it out in our mind. And I say that as a funny illustration with a child, but we do it every day as individuals with the work in the hands of God. We look at it and we reason it out how far I can stray, how far I can get away, what I can do before I slip, or before I make a mistake, or before I fall. We reason out how I can miss one service, or I can miss two services, or we reason it out that Bible study is not that important, or if I miss prayer this week, it's not that big of a deal, and I realize a lot of these things we don't have, or if I miss that men's event or that ladies' event, it's not the end of the world. And all the while, in the background, you have God standing back there saying, Brother Rodney, Sister Lizzie, Sister Smith, we're going this way. And you know what? You hear it, and you hear it, and you reason in your mind how carnal I can get before I really get back to where I need to be. And the problem is, after a while, amongst everything else, you tune it out and you don't recognize the voice of God anymore. And that's a dangerous place to be. You can tune out God so much that you're walking all by yourself. But you see, the good shepherd, the Bible says, he will leave the 99 to come find the what? The what? How many is glad we serve a God like that? He'll leave everything else to come find you. Or he'll leave everything else to come find me. But this is the rest of the story. When I, as an individual, choose to walk away from the flock, choose to run solo when I don't have defense mechanisms to protect myself. That lamb can't swing a staff. It doesn't have any gnarly teeth. It can't kick like a cow. It can't root and hit like a ram. It doesn't have anything to protect. It is at the vulnerability of being able to run. And most of you could outrun a lamb. They're not very fast. In fact, they're a bit clumsy. And when we choose to run solo as individuals, and we stray away from the flock, he will leave the 99 to go find the one. But there's no guarantee what he's going to find when he finds the one. As Paul Harvey says, that's the rest of the story. Because you get away from the protection of God, you set yourself vulnerable to all the elements of the world. And can you imagine what it does to a shepherd to have taken that little lamb and helped it be born, made sure that it could get to its mother to find milk when it was born, made sure that it stayed with the flock and probably got attached, as my daughter is probably, to those two little puppies that we have at our house. Only to find out that one of those puppies had snuck it out. And we find the bones where the coyote had made dinner out of that puppy. So much time invested, so much effort and energy of designing you in just the way God wanted you, putting the mechanisms into your life to make you successful as you, made in the image of God, created, putting life into you, all the elements to have the most success in life that could ever be. For God to come and find the casualty of someone that refused to hear the voice of the shepherd, did not recognize the shepherd, and refused to be led. Can you imagine the heartbreak of that shepherd to bend over and pick up that lamb? Possibly sometimes injured beyond repair, to find that lamb after so much had been invested into it, destroyed by the enemy because it didn't follow his lead. There are individuals, and there are two illustrations that the Bible says. The Bible says when you get someone that's leading people that's not led of God, they're not a part of the good shepherd, then the wolf comes in and the sheep, the Bible says, scatter. They all run for their lives. And I contend most of you, when I look across this congregation, were people that at one time had scattered. And now God has pulled you into a flock for protection. But think of the hundreds, thousands of other people that are out there that are still wandering because they've been hurt by someone they thought was their shepherd. Think of the number of people that are still out there wandering aimlessly because they've been injured by someone they had put their trust in. And they failed them. You know the hardest part to leading those people? Is to get them to trust leadership again. That's the hardest thing, is to get them to trust again. But I don't wholly blame that upon the other leaders. You say, what do you mean? Because you've got to watch the life of a leader to make sure he's leading and not just pointing the direction. I say this many, many times, and I'll say it probably till the day I die. My goal as a pastor, and I've told most of you, I know I've told most of you this, I believe very simply in heading towards heaven, and those that want to follow come along behind, and we're going to make it to heaven. I believe in truly leading people. If you want to know what I believe, look at my life. If you know what I want to know what I believe it takes to get to heaven, listen to what I preach. Look at what I do in my life. I want to be a living, walking example to the flock that God has entrusted in my care. You want to know how important I think church is? Look at how often I'm at church. You want to know how important I think it is to make sure that the church financially is sound? Look at the way we give. You want to look at how what we believe standards-wise? Look at the way we live. Because that's what leaders should do. I could stand up here. I heard one man say, he was preaching to a bunch of pastors, and he said, sometimes you can be hard on people and brutal on people over the pulpit. He said, because sometimes a pulpit can be a bully pulpit for something a man don't have the guts to take somebody aside and say, look, biblically, this is what we believe. So they will hide behind the sacred desk and hit people over the pulpit. That's not the will of God. Are there going to be things that I'm going to preach and teach that I need to hit over the pulpit? Absolutely. But I want us all to understand we've got to recognize the hand of God upon our lives. We've got to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And we've got to somehow not get comfortable and lax in our walks with God, that we start venturing off in our own little areas, and pretty soon we look around and the flock is nowhere around. Because if the flock's not around, probably the shepherd is not around, and you don't have any protection. And when that happens, you're very, very vulnerable as individuals. I thank the Lord that we have the church that we have. We've got a good bunch of people that loves God. They work hard. They're a giving group of people. I'll be honest with you. When I look at this crowd, I couldn't be asked for a better group of people to pastor the startup of a church than to have this nucleus of people that God has blessed us with. We're a blessed church. Do we have anybody that would say amen? But this preacher standing here today came with one point to get across to us as a whole. Is don't lose recognition of the voice of the good shepherd. There's a lot's going to go on in the world. Life is not fair. Life is brutal. And life is hard. There's going to be jobs and there's going to be no jobs. There's going to be families, there's going to be broken families. There's going to be marriage, there's going to be marriage problems. There's going to be issues, there's going to be money, and there's going to be no money. There's going to be times that you're bouncing off the top of the walls because you're so on fire for God, you feel like you could walk up to the chief of police and pray him through the Holy Ghost at any moment. And there's going to be other days you're going to be sitting there and you're going to say, God, are you even a million miles from me? I don't even feel God anymore. it seems as if the heavens are brass. And every prayer I send up comes right back down. I don't remember the last time I had a prayer answered in my life. There's going to be those moments. There's going to be those times. But in the midst of all of those times, don't lose the sound of the voice of the shepherd. Because if you're not hearing the voice of God anymore, you might want to see if you're still with the flock. You might want to see if you started wandering off a little bit too far, maybe in the pleasures of life. Maybe it's not even sin. Maybe it's just you're reading too many carnal books. Maybe you're just spending too much time trying to make the extra nickel and not devoting enough time to God. Just the little things sometimes can get in the way and we lose sight of the good shepherd. Maybe it's just the busyness of life. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. But remember, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. There are other shepherds. There are other things you can follow. There are places you can hang your hat. But when troubles come and trial comes, as Brother Kirk can probably attest in the last week, it's good to have a shepherd that you can fall back on. Say, God, I just need a little strength this week. Because the other shepherds won't be there when you're going through your darkest hour. The other shepherds won't be there when you're facing the biggest trial of your life. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, I'm the door. And then he said, my sheep hear my voice. Why? Because if you stayed close enough to God, you can still hear the voice of God. Then he said, I know their name. Brother Ken, are you thankful that God knows you by name? Are you thankful when you're really hitting the downtime? And you start to get a little weary, Brother Miller. And you hear that still small voice that says, Brother Miller, I'm still there. I know what you're going. You say, how could God really know what I'm... Does he really know me that well? The Bible says he feels the infirmities. He knows when you're hurt. He's walked out in the desert and threw you over his back a time or two and carried you back to the flock when you were injured. He's been there. He's done that. Because that's the kind of God we serve. But the good thing is, a good shepherd will never quit looking for the one. Think about that. A God that will never quit looking for the one. I was listening to a story, and I'm closing if they want to come to the music. I was listening to a story this week from the things that were going on in Selma, Alabama in the 1950s. It was a very racial, prejudiced time in our history as a country. And there was individuals that were setting off bombs in churches and in homes. They were interviewing a young girl that was only, I think she was about 10 years old, something like that. And she'd went to church that day. She said as she was in the church house, she was taking the collection plate and fixing to go out for an offering time. And her duty was to carry those offering plates out to the sanctuary, make sure they were in place. And she said all of a sudden she heard an explosion in the front of the building. She said the first thing she thought was that a storm? Was it something outside? What was it? And she said her second thought was, where are my two brothers? The very second thought, outside of am I hurt? Outside of what's going on? She said, where are my brothers? Because her father said, before she left the house, don't come home, lest those two boys are with you. Dead or alive. Make sure if you leave with two come home. And she said the first thing she thought when that explosion went was, where's my brothers? She said in all the scattering and chaos, they literally did not find one of the brothers for almost 2 days. And it was a time in our history that we don't want to think about anymore. It was a time when it was a very divisive time of our country. Dividing was a common day, and that the whole purpose in those bombings around Selma, Alabama, was to separate the racial colors so that they didn't associate together, because there was a coming together and the people were starting to integrate, and those that did not want that were setting off bombs all around the city. She said it was literally like a war zone going on. If you want my opinion on it, this little pastor still believes we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let me be on record saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what color my brother is. He is still a child that God is willing to leave the 99 and go find at his lowest and darkest moment. Let me go on record then saying that God loves everyone. He created man and he made man in his image, and God will not stop until every individual is saved, and he is going to leave the 99 to go find the one every single time, and he will not stop until he comes back with you, dead or alive, because that's the God we serve. As we all stand,